Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, all the way at the bottom. The Yom, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara introduced the concept of Ein Safik Moitzim Dei Vadai, and that's why the Gemara had said that if we know there was something that was certainly used as an Avodah Zarah, and then there's a question, were they mevatlet or not? We can't assume that they were mevatlet, because there's a halacha of ain't suffic, something was as a question, did it happen or did not happen, does not have the power to override something that we know certainly happened. Is that true? Asked the Gemara. Ain't suffic ma'itz m'dei v'adai v'atanya. The Braisa teaches us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'itza b'shivchasoi shel meitzik echad. There was the shivcha of a strong Jewish individual who lived in the city of Rimon. She tell Nefel Bar. She had a Nefel. She had a child that didn't make it, and she threw it into the bar. Uba Kayin, and there was a Kayin who was a Rav, and went and checked the Hatzitz boy, laid them Zachim Nakeva. He wanted to be able to determine if this Nefel was a boy or a girl, because as we know, that if somebody, the Shivcha Kananis, because she's a Shivcha Kananis, she's treated in certain ways as a Jew. And because she's treated in certain ways as a Jew, the halacha is that if she has a boy, she's tamei no matter what for 7 days. And then the Sa'or Medaraisa. And then Tohar no matter what, even if she's bleeding for 33 days. And by girl, everything doubles. She's tamei no matter what for 14 days, and then she's tohar for the next 66 days. And therefore, the Kohen had to come examine what exactly was the status of this child. Most interesting to note, many Mefarshim discuss this, and that is, how was a Kohen allowed to do this? By leaning over the bar, he would become tamei. So how was a Kohen allowed to lean over the bar? Many different answers to this question. Tosfos says that indeed he was a Kohen who was an Amoritz, and he should not have done it. But that's not the subject of our Gemara. He says, Rashi seems to ignore the question too. He says that he was a Maira, he was a Rav. And therefore, he had to do his job. But the question, of course, is how could he do something like this when he would become Tamei? So some Sefer has a whole explanation that there was a Svek Sveika. Because there's a Svek Sveika, if there's Tuma and if the child was still there, that's why he felt comfortable in doing it. Another approach, which is actually not necessarily correct, is that he was under the impression that a Nefel doesn't give off Tuma. And because he was under the impression that a Nefel doesn't give off Tuma, that's why he felt he could look over that bar. There's also a very significant discussion here in the Paiskim about the requirement of a burying a Nefel. The Magen Avraham quotes Dagos Maimonides that says, from here it seems that there is no obligation to bury a Nefel, and that's why he was put into a bar. The Magen Avraham disagrees, and he says that the putting into the bar, he says, of course, there's a chiv to bury a Nefel, but the putting into the bar, says the Magen Avraham, is the way of fulfilling the bar. The Chazon Ish has the following approach. He says that there is a mitzvah to bury a Nefel. He says that this bar, says the Chazon Ish, certainly is not considered an act of proper burial. But the Chazon Ish takes the approach that the women, unfortunately, were very embarrassed to leave their child when they had a Nefel, that their child didn't make it. And that's why they used to put the Nefelim into the bar. The minig, of course, is to bury a Nefel, because as I saw the Shal Tshuvas Avni Tzedek says, that the Aloch is, that it's a bezyonis. This is a neshama. And since it's neshama, it's inappropriate not to bury it. But he seems to take the approach that that some of the chumras or some of the halachas that we have by kfura doesn't apply by nefil. One example he gives is that we typically will not bury two neftarim in one kever, but two nefalim maybe we're allowed to. The kolboy gives a different reason. He says that even the nefalim, rachman otzlan, will get up for tchias hamesim, and those that are buried properly will be zoicha to have tchias hanesim. There's also a very significant discussion in the Paiskim about the chiv of kfura on a nefil is connected to a question. We know that we're not allowed to do experiments, certainly not do autopsies on a person that was nifter. The question is, would we be allowed to do so on a nefil? If the chiv kfura on a nefil is much easier, then there might be room for there might be more room to be able to hold on to nefil for those purposes, says the Gemara. But again, shitin nefil bar, this nefil was in the bar, uba kain, the kain kevet by leider mzach in the keva to know if it was a zecha in the keva, uba meislef nechachamim, and the chachamim came to, and this question was asked, and they said with teruah that the bar is tohor. Because says the Gemara Mnei Shecholdo Badlos Mitzuyim Shom, there are cats, there are bears, and it's certainly certain that the nefil was was taken away. And therefore, there is no question that the person who was bending over the bar did not become tamei. Says the Gemara, let's think about this. For Hocho, in this case, the Vadi Tila Nefil, there is no question that the nefil was in there. Vesafik, and we can't know for certain if garurua, safik la garu, we don't know for certain if the nefil was removed or not, yet the halacha is teaching us, because asli safik, the safik, if it is or isn't there, is still overriding the vadai that was, the vadai that it was there. There's a very big discussion in the Paiskim, in the Rishonim, about here too, because we know that the rule in halacha is safek tamei b'shus ha'yachid is tamei, safek tamei b'shus ha'rabim is tohor. And the question that Tosfos asks is exactly where was this bar? Was it in b'shus ha'yachid? It was in b'shus ha'yachid. We should have to be machmer because of safek tamei b'shus ha'yachid is tamei. If it was on the other hand in the b'shus ha'rabim, so there the rule teaches us that a safek tamei b'shus ha'rabim is tahor. So why don't we just use that as a way of determining what the halacha is? So one teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the bar itself was in Rishus Rabim. However, that we, since the bar was very narrow, even though we say Safek Tam Rishus Rabim, that doesn't mean that every Safek we automatically say is tahor. When we say Safek Tam Rishus Rabim is tahor, is where we really have a suffix. But over here, if there was a nafil in the bar that had a very narrow opening, so unless the Gemara is going to add this new consideration, we have to assume that the nafil was still there. Another explanation Tosfos gives is sort of just the opposite. He says that the bar was 10 tefachim teep. And since the bar was 10 tefachim teep, it's certainly considered Shus HaYachid. But he says that the opening was only a tefach. Since it was opening only a tefach, so therefore the tumah doesn't go up when you have such a small opening. And that's why they assume that there wouldn't be, that there's a question if the tumah will go up. The third teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the bar itself was Rishus HaYachid, but the kohen was standing in the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says that what happened is that they assumed that the nafil was pulled out by an animal. The question that the Binyan Shlomo asks is a much more fundamental question. This Kohen went to examine, and he said he didn't see anything. So of course, if he didn't see anything, why isn't that the determining factor that we have no problem here? So the Binyan Shlomo answers that the Gemara began with the word v'hitzitz. The word v'hitzitz means that he really didn't look that carefully. So yes, if the Kohen had looked at the situation carefully and been able to determine that there was no nafil there, then there wouldn't be any discussion. But because he didn't pay very close attention, his report that he didn't find a nafil is not something that we could rely on. The Taras Chaim has a different approach. The Taras Chaim's approach is that since we began very much with the beginning, we began this year, since we know for sure that there was a nafil there, just because the Kohen did not see that nafil doesn't change the halacha. Because the nafil, if not for the fact that we Gemara just said that the animals have pulled it out, we can't just make believe it's not there when we know it was there. So again, the question is, we know that the nafil was there, and the Gemara is introducing consideration that maybe it was schlepped out, but the question is, how can we accept that? Ain't Sofik Moitz B'Deim Vadai. Answers the Gemara, Loi Teima Hitila Nafil Abar. Don't explain the Gemara that there was certainly a nafil there. Aleima Hitila Kamin Nafil Abar. That what was thrown in there was something that we weren't exactly sure what it was. So now we have a Sfek Sfeika. Sofik, was it Sofik, what was put there, is it Matama or is it not Matama? And even if it is a nafil, maybe we're schlepped out by a animal, and therefore we have no more concern. It says the Gemara, how can we say that that's the pshat? Valeda, the Gemara clearly says that the purpose of this Kohen's examination was Leidem Zachem the Keva Ketani, if it was a Zachor in the Keva. So it seems that it was certain that there was a nafil, we just don't know what its status is. Says the Gemara Hachikomer. This is what we're meant to say. Number one, they needed to determine Leidem Ruach Apila or Nafil Apila. If what was in there was a nafil or just a bag of air. Vim Tim Tzolayim Nafil Apila, and if indeed it was a nafil, now we need to know Leidem Zachem Nekeva. If what was in there was a Zachem Nekeva. Vibayis Ema. And then the Gemara gives a whole new explanation. Kivin Shechulda Badlas Matsuyin Sham. Since this was in a place where these animals were there all the time, so it's not a question, maybe did they take it out, maybe did they not take it out. We could be certain the Vadi Gerurah that was taken out. So again, we learned in our previous year, the Machlokes of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if an Avodah Zarah that we found broken, may we have Hanob. And the Gemara brought this Machlokes with questions back and forth. Eisvei, asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, we learned in our Mishnah, Motza Tavnas Yad, Tavnas Regel, if somebody found a hand or a foot that was broken off a sculpture, Harel Suam B'nei Shiyotz B'Neved, they are considered like a Avodah Zarah, because these are the type of objects they used to worship. But Mai asked the Gemara, Hashru Nenu, they're broken, and Reish Lakish says, as soon as an Avodah Zarah is broken, makes no difference if it was done deliberately by itself. It's no longer considered an Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara, Ha-Terg Mishmul. So answers the Gemara, we already asked this question, and the Gemara said that Ba'am de Milsison, we're speaking about a case that they're standing on the base that they were designated for, and when they're still on that base that they were designated for, then the halacha is that it's still considered an Avodah Zarah. Eisvei, so Rabbi Yochan asks another question, Reish Lakish. The halacha is, Avodah the Gemishta we're going to learn about the Shema Daf Nun Beis. Avodah Kachavim has the ability to nullify his own Avodah Zarah and also Shal Chaveroi. That means if he'll take the Avodah Zarah, as we're going to learn, and cut off a piece of the Avodah Zarah, that will make it be considered that the Avodah Zarah doesn't have the halacha of an Avodah Zarah. So, of course, we need to understand, an Avodah Chavim could be mevatel his own Avodah Zarah. It's his Avodah Zarah, and now he decided to nullify it. But how could his act of being mevatel somebody else's Avodah Zarah be considered effective? Says the Sefer Be'er Yehuda, that indeed, if the Avodah Zarah is in somebody else's house, and he can't be mevatel it. However, if it's in a place where it's not in somebody's specific house, then the halach is that you can be mevatel it. It's interesting to point out that although this teretz is offered in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Simen Kuf Mevav Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a guy can mevatel Avodah Zarah Shaloi, Vishal Chaveroi, and doesn't make any distinctions where Avodah Zarah is found. Continues the Mishnah there to teach us, Yisrael ain't mevatel Avodah Kachavim Shal Avodah Kachavim. But a Yisrael does not have the ability to mevatel the Avodah Zarah that belongs to a Nachri. And the Meshech Chachma explains why not. He says, when Yisrael is mevatel Avodah Zarah, the halacha requires that we should destroy all Avodah Zarah. So when a Yisrael is mevatel Avodah Zarah, what he's doing is, he's not being mevatel Avodah Zarah because he's showing that it has no significance. He's being mevatel Avodah Zarah because the halacha requires him to mevatel Avodah Zarah. The act of bittel, of making the Avodah Zarah not an Avodah Zarah, is by showing I'm not worshipping this Avodah Zarah anymore. He's not doing it because of that reason. He's doing it because he has a chiyuv to mevatel Avodah Zarah. And the other explanation he gives is, since a Yisrael is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, only somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, only somebody, I shouldn't say allowed, because the Nachri is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah also, but only somebody who actually worships Avodah Zarah can mevatel it. Somebody who is not, who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah can't be mevatel Avodah Zarah. And he says the nafkamina between these two explanations would be a ger toshev. We've spoken and will speak in Mitzvah Shem about a ger toshev. The halacha of a ger toshev is that a ger toshev is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. But although a ger toshev is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, the mitzvah of abe ta'abdun, the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah, doesn't apply to a ger toshev. So if the reason is because there's a mitzvah by a ger toshev, there is no such mitzvah. If the reason is because somebody who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah can't be mevatel Avodah Zarah, he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Amai, but ask the Gemara, why, if the Avodah Zarah is broken by Yisrael, it should be no worse, ask the Gemara, to have a Avodah Zarah, it should be no worse than Avodah Zarah that was broken on its own. And as we've been learning, and according to Reish Lakish, an Avodah Zarah that's broken on its own is not considered Avodah Zarah. Amar Abaye, to which Abaye answers, we're not speaking about when Avodah Zarah was actually broken. It was only Pachsa. He took a hammer and banged on it, but it didn't take away any of the actual Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara of Chipachsa Mayhava. Indeed, if that's all that have it, still, Vatanan, doesn't the Mishnah teach us on Dafnun Gimel, Pachsa, Abish Lechasra, that if you smash the Avodah Zarah, even if it's still whole, Batla. And he answers the Gemara, when was that then said? Hani, Mili, the Pachsa V'Kachavim, if it was an Avodah Kachavim that did that act. Avol, Pachs Yisrael, it was smashed by a Jew without losing any of the actual Avodah Zarah, Leibotla. And that's why even Reish Lakish will agree that Avodah Zarah still remains an Avodah Zarah. V'ram v'amal o'elam ki Pachs Yisrael nami botla. Indeed, when a Yisrael smashes the Avodah Zarah, it's no longer considered an Avodah Zarah. El Xera Dima Magbalay. There's a new concern here. And that is the concern that the Yisrael, before he smashes the Avodah Zarah, picks it up, and by picking up the Avodah Zarah, it becomes his. And then he does the act of breaking it. And the halacha is, an Avodah Zarah that belongs to Yisrael, the kol Avodah Chacham v'yad Yisrael, and a betela oilam never becomes bottle. And that's why over here, it's not bottle, because the Yisrael did these, it's not the Avodah Zarah of the Yisrael, but it's the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. So many Mefarshim asked the question, yes, the Jew is taking ownership of it. But once the Jew takes ownership, but how could the act of ownership be considered an act of ownership? This is something which is also b'hanah. Avodah Zarah is also b'hanah. And the halach is that you can't take ownership of something which is also b'hanah. So the Rishonim answer that, and this question actually would be an interesting question, a similar, about chametz on Pesach. A Jew is not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. Chametz on Pesach is also b'hanah. And the question is, if a Jew takes ownership of chametz on Pesach, is it considered an act of kinyan when it's also b'hanah? So many Rishonim answer the Ritva, and every other Rishonim say that if you accomplish something with your act of kinyan, even though it's only it's also b'hanah, it's considered an act of kinyan. And here too, it wasn't also b'hanah until the Yisrael picks it up. Since it wasn't also b'hanah until the Yisrael picks it up, so that means he accomplished something with his kinyan. He made it also b'hanah, and that's why it's considered an act of kinyan. And the same halacha would apply by chametz on Pesach. Until the Yisrael, if Yisrael buys chametz from a guy, it wasn't also b'hanah until he took ownership. The Rashba says another pshat. Even if we'll say halachically, there is no act of kinyan here, because it's something which is also b'hanah, but this person had intention to take ownership. So as far as that is concerned, it's enough to make it be concerned an act of kinyan. The Avni Miluim gives a different pshat. The Avni Miluim says that once the Yisrael does this act, he now becomes responsible for this Avodah Zarah. So even though it may be lacks in halachas of kinyan, maybe it lacks in halachas of ownership, but at the end of the day, he now is responsible for this Avodah Zarah. And since now he has become responsible for this Avodah Zarah, that's enough to make it Avodah Zarah Se Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan asks another question to Reish Lakish. The Brisa says, if an Avodah Chacham brought stones from Avodah Zarah, which is made with a stack of stones, and the way the Avodah Zarah was worshipped was that they threw stones at the Avodah Zarah. And he used those stones to make roads. Mutaris, then the halacha is, you could travel on those roads, because the guy was mevatel the Avodah Zarah by taking away the stones. However, if Yisrael took that stone and used it to make a road, asuris. But ask the Gemara, why is this any worse than Avodah Zarah that was broken on its own? And therefore, it should not be asur b'hanah according to Reish Lakish. Answers the Gemara, hachanam k'drava. We're going to have to say the same teretz that Rava said, that the person picked it up with intention of owning it. He did an act of hagbah with the various pshatim that we just gave. And because of that, it becomes the Avodah Zarah of Yisrael. As we just learned, that Avodah Zarah of Yisrael can never become bottle. What's going to happen in the Gemara is we're going to have this back and forth, this question, and the same teretz on this question many times. And the Mefarshim ask, what is the point of the Gemara asking the same question and offering the same teretz over and over? So the Yavetz answers that this is very common, the Hagdol Torah L'Adira, that to make more Torah in the world. What does it mean, Hagdol Torah L'Adira? So the way I sort of Mefarshim explain is that they were always considering that we're going to ask this question. And yes, they knew there is the answer that Rava has taught us, but maybe there's another answer. And they kept on asking the question in different ways to see if they maybe could come up with another answer besides the answer that Rava offered. Another pshat that I saw is that these questions, this Gemara, the Gemara is really a compilation. These questions were asked in different yeshivas in a different ways. And every yeshiva, this question was asked. And they always came up with the same answer that Rava gave. But when they compiled the Gemara, they took the different versions of this back and forth, this question and answer, in different ways. Esrei asked the Gemara from a different braisa. The braisa says, if a Nachri worked on the Avodah Zarah of another guy, that means one of the common Avodah Zarahs that we know the Torah speaks about, we're going to be speaking about in our Masechta, is the Asherah. It's a kind of a tree. So if an Ovid Kechavim worked on somebody else's tree and the pieces of wood that fall off, the Tzarchai, if he did it for as an act of bittul, he v'shipur matarim, the Asherah is no longer an Avodah Zarah, the pieces of wood are no longer Avodah Zarah, the matarim. The Tzarchai, but if he only did it to beautify the actual Avodah Zarah, he has surah, the actual Avodah Zarah is still asur, v'shipur matarim, but the pieces that fell off, a motor. But ask the Gemara of Yisrael, Shishipa Avodah Kechavim. But the Halacha says the Braisa, if this was done by Yisrael, Bein Letzarchai, Bein Letzarchai, whatever his intention was, whether it was for his own benefit or for the benefit of the Avodah Zarah, the Halacha is Shiva Shipui Asurin, everything remains Asur. Ask the Gemara the question, Amai, why is this no worse? Tavik Avodah Kechavim, Shnishtar B'Melah, that we learn according to a Shlokish, is motor. And so the concern is that he wanted to take ownership. Says the Gemara Esrei, another question. The Mishnah teaches us on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, if somebody finds an Avodah Zarah that's made out of metal, soichik, he should grind it, v'zayir l'ruach mataliyam, and throw it in the air or throw it into the sea. Amalai, so the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, why would that be acceptable? If he nasa zevel, then the pieces of ground up of Avodah Zarah could be now fertilizer. V'ksivin the Torah Kedoshah says, lo yibak b'yotchem u'mam anacherim. And then the person on whose field this ground up as Avodah Zarah falls is going to have benefit from the Avodah Zarah. But ask the Gemara, but why would that be a concern? Yurei shlokesh hold on Avodah Zarah that was broken on its own has no value, so this should be no worse. And says the Gemara again, Hachanam Kedarava, where the Yisrael took ownership. And once the Yisrael took ownership, it's considered Avodah Zarah of Yisrael. And once it's considered Avodah Zarah of Yisrael, you can't be Mevatlet. Ask the Gemara another question. Esrei, Rabbi Yosef Yisrael and Omer, the Braisa says, Matzah Tzuras Droiken. They found the sculpture of a snake. And snake was a sculpture that they very often would worship. Rosha chatuch, and the head is chopped off. But now we have a question. Safik of Chacham chatachai, Safik of Yisrael chatachai. We don't know who broke it, mutter, because we have a sfek sfeika. First of all, we have a Safik. Was this ever an Avodah Zarah? And even if it was an Avodah Zarah, maybe it was the Nachri who broke it. But what do we see from that, the Braisa? Vadi Yisrael chatachai. If it was certain that it was a Yisrael that broke it, it would be Asur. But again, ask the Gemara, Amai, why is that the halacha? Why should it be any worse? It should be no worse than Avodah Zarah that was broken on its own, that Rish Lakish says is not considered Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara, Hachanam Ked Rabba, again, we'll say the same teretz as Rava said, where we have to be concerned that the Yisrael took ownership of it. Once the Yisrael took ownership of it, you can't have bittul. Esrei, another question. The halacha is, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Mishnah, Daf Mem Ches on the base. If you're allowed to plant vegetables under an Asherah tree that was planted to be an Avodah Zarah, because the shade of the tree actually ruins, is detrimental to the vegetables because it blocks the sun from being able to shine on those, to help those vegetables grow. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afla yiraks b'maisu gishamim, even vegetables in the winter may not be planted under the asherah tree, ne sheveh ne sheres aleihem. The leaves of the tree fall on those vegetables, and then those leaves become fertilized. But I asked the Gemara, Amai, even if the leaves fall off, they have a kavod kachavim shneshtaber b'elah. It should be considered that the avodah zarah was broken, and you as shlokish hold that the avodah zarah that's broken is not considered an avodah zarah anymore. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, that's not a good proof. Because in that case, the avodah zarah is not the trees, not the leaves. The primary avodah zarah is the tree. The tree is still standing. And therefore, Rashi explained the Gemara, the leaves that fall off that tree, since the tree is still standing and is still very much an avodah zarah, the leaves that fall off the tree are also considered avodah zarah. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ravid has a different approach. The Ravid says that indeed the leaves ought not to be considered avodah zarah if they fall off. The avodah zarah should nishtabra. But it's a gzeir de rabbanon that if we're going to be lenient about the leaves, we may end up being lenient about the actual avodah zarah itself. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that we spoke about the pieces of wood that fall off a tree that's avodah zarah, that fall off an asherah tree which is avodah zarah, where, again, the asherah tree is still standing. And yet, the ketani letzarcha, if we did this trimming of the tree, letzarcha surah, the shipuya, the tree remains an avodah zarah. But we said that the pieces, we said earlier in our shir, the pieces that fall off are mutarin. But according to what we're learning now, if the actual avodah zarah is still standing, then why are the pieces not considered avodah zarah? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, l'fi she'ein avodah zarah b'teila derek d'losai. A tree drops leaves. And since a tree drops leaves, when it drops leaves, that's not considered an act of bittul. And therefore, the leaves are still considered avodah zarah. But when somebody trims the tree and pieces of wood fall off the tree, that isn't something that happened by itself. Since it's not something that happened by itself, that's why the halacha is that it's considered an act of bittul. Esrei asked, so that's the difference. The leaves that fell off by themselves are still going to be considered avodah zarah. The pieces of wood that were trimmed off are not going to be considered avodah zarah. But now the Gemara, till now the Gemara has brought questions that Rabbi Yochanan asked in Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish's opinion is that avodah zarah that breaks by itself is no longer an avodah zarah. Now the Gemara turns around and brings questions that Reish Lakish asked to Rabbi Yochanan, who Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that avodah zarah that fell, that breaks by itself, is still considered avodah zarah. The Mishnah Masechta Milah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, teaches us, Kan Barosh Eilon Shel Hegdish, if you have a nest on top of a tree which belongs to Hegdish, the halacha is Loinen V'Loi Malan. The halacha is that if somebody's not supposed to have benefit from it, but if somebody did have benefit from it, it's not considered as if he did an act of Milah. Rosh Shel Asheira, but if you find a nest on the top of an Asheira tree, Yatas Bekana, you should take a stick to knock down that nest. But you're not allowed to climb up the Asherah tree, because by climbing up the Asherah tree, it becomes like a ladder for you, and you're benefiting from the Asherah tree by climbing up on it. Kusalka datach, so now the Gemara makes its point. Kigonsh shabrim emenu eitzim. How was this nest made? So the Gemara is assuming that the birds took wood from the actual tree, the kintzibahen, and used it to make a nest. V'ktani yatis b'kana. The halacha is that the avodah zarah, that it's not considered avodah zarah anymore because it was broken off. Answers the Gemara, no. We're not speaking about a case where the wood of the Asherah tree was used to make the nest. And the wood of the Asherah tree is a part of the Asherah. The nest was not made out of wood from the Asherah tree. The nest was made from other wood, which is not Avodah Zarah. Deikanami, and the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that that's the way to learn the Mishnah. The Ketanigah B'Hegdish, the part of the Mishnah that spoke about Hegdish says, Leinen V'Leimalem. Yamrit Ba'alma B'Shlomo, so says the Gemara. If we'll say that the way to understand that Mishnah is referring to a case that Eitzim Alma that was made from wood, not from that tree. Hanik Tanigah B'Hegdish, that is why we could understand by the halacha that's stated by Hegdish, the Leinenim V'Leimalem. Leinenim Midrabonim. We're not allowed to have benefit from it, Midrabonon, because Chazal were concerned that if you're going to have enough from it, you may come to from the nest. You may come to have enough from the actual tree, which is Hegdish. However, the Leimalem Midraisa, there is no act of Mila here, the Leikadisha, because the wood from which the nest was made is not made from the tree, which is Hegdish. Eli Amrit Shiva Eitzim Amenu, if we're going to say that the nest was made from the actual tree, which is Hegdish, the Kinsabahem, that's what the nest was made from, then the question would be, am I Leimalin? Why would there be no Mila here? Hakadishi, the tree is Hegdish, and the wood is Hegdish, says the Gemara, Midi area. That isn't necessarily a proof. Because we could say that the part of the Mishnah that's speaking about the Hegdish tree, it's speaking about wood that grew from the branches of the tree after the tree was declared Hegdish, the Kasavar, and the Tana of that Mishnah is of the opinion that Eimila Begdulim, that something that grows afterwards is not subject to Me'ila. And therefore, if that's the case, the Mishnah is maybe talking about that the bird did make the nest from the wood of the tree. If it was made from the wood of the tree and the tree is Hegdish, that isn't the problem. Because the wood that was used, so why is it not subject to Mila? Because the wood that was used is wood that came after, which came afterwards. And since it's wood that came afterwards, that's why it's not subject to Mila. Says the Gemara, Rav Avuah gives a different answer in the name of Rav Yochanan. Why is that Mishnah not difficult on Rav Yochanan? Says the Gemara, my Yatis, when the Mishnah said that we should take off the nest, it doesn't mean that we should use the nest. The nest may not be used because the nest is made from the Asherah tree. And the halacha is that anything that's made from the Asherah tree, even after it's broken, Rabbi Yochanan says it's still Avodah Zarah. What we're talking about here is Yatas Bafroichim. Are we allowed to have benefit from the birds? And the Mishnah is teaching us that you're allowed to have benefit from the birds. And we're not worried that if you're going to have benefit from the birds, if you're allowed to have benefit from the birds, you're going to go and climb up the tree, which of course you're not allowed to climb up the tree because it's Avodah Zarah. That's regarding the Asherah tree. But when we speak about the Hegdish tree, the halacha is, there we're talking about the wood of the tree, and there the halacha still will be, as we just learned, that since this wood only grew after the tree was declared a Hegdish, so there's no halacha or me'ila on Gedulim Habam Achmikan. Amalei, Rav Yaakov, Rav Yirmiyah, Bat Achlifa, Asbroch. I'm going to explain this Mishnah. Befrech mekam v'kam v'torim. As far as the birds are concerned, they're mutter. Once, whether the birds are on the top of a Hegdish tree, whether they're on top of an Asherah tree, there's no issue. Because the birds could fly on their own, and since they could fly on their own, they're not considered connected that much to the tree. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera on the birds. Bebeim, when we talk about the eggs of the birds, indeed, kavakan asurim. Because since the eggs can't go anywhere on their own, they're considered connected to the tree, And therefore, whether they're on the top of a Hegdish tree or on the top of an Asher tree, you can't have a Noam. Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi comments, but the little birds that still need their mother because they can't fly on their own yet, even though they're somewhat independent, still they're usher, because since they need to be on the tree next to the mother in the nest, that's why they're considered connected to the nest. Hamaitzi Kalim, if somebody finds, continues the Mishnah, Kalim, Velem Tzura Chama Tzura Slavana, and on the Kalim, there are design of the sun or of the moon, Tzura Stroiken, or of the snake that we said earlier in our shir, that was something which a common of the Zara. The halacha is, Yelichim Yalam HaMelech, they have to be taken to Yalam HaMelech and be disposed. If they were found on significant, important kalim, then they're asurim because they were worshipped. Alam avuzim, when they're found on kalim that are not significant or they're used for not important, for not nice purposes, a garbage can, they would be mutarim. The Gemara will explain this. Says the Gemara, a memra. So our Mishnah identified three types of designs. So ask the Gemara, Lamamr, Dilahanihu, the Palkhalai, does that mean that they only worshipped these type of designs, Midachrin Aloy, but they didn't worship anything else? For many, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Hashaychet L'shem Harim, L'shem Gavoyus, L'shem Yamin, L'shem Naharis, L'shem Hamidbar, L'shem Achama, L'shem Alavana, L'shem Avedis Kachavim Mazalus, L'shem Mechol Sarah Godel, L'shem Shilshel Cotton, a small worm, Harelus of Chemesim. So we see from this Mishnah that they worshipped all types of things. Answers the Gemara, Me Amabaya, Mifach Lachod the Mifach Polchi. Indeed, the Avodah Zarah the type of Avodah Zarah was all types of Avodah Zarah. However, Meitzer Mifachi, to make a design on a keli, Ha'anitlos the Chshivi. These three designs are considered significant, that they would draw them on a keli or palchle and worship them. But everything else, the halacha is noy ba'alma of delay. When we see a design on a keli, we could assume that they were just made for the sake of design on the keli. Says the Gemara, Manked Rav Sheshes Chumrim Masnisan. Rav Sheshes would take different brises that were difficult to understand. That's one way. Another way of learning is he would compile brises. He took different brises that teach chumris and put them together. Manka Rav Sheshes chumr masnisa v'tani, and he taught them the brise in the yeshiva. The brise says kol mazalos matarim chutz mimazachol levana. The cover tzufim matarim, all faces are mutar, chutz parts of Adam, the cover tzuris mataris, chutz mitzuris droiknan, the sculpture of the snake. So the Gemara teaches us, Amamar, kav mazos matarim, chutz mazal chamalavana, b'may skinan, ilema, b'oyser, if we're talking about somebody who's actually drawing this, the question is, if you're actually doing it, is a mutav aksiv loisasin iti, and the Gemara, the Chazal teaches that pasuk comes to teach us loisasin kedmush shemoshem shamshul in front of a maram, that you're not allowed to make a picture of something that's in the shemayim. El pshita b'moitza, we're talking about we found something ukretan, as was the subject of a mishnah. And the Mishnah says, "Amoytzik kelim v'leim tzurus kam tzurus levana tzurus hadroikim yolchem liyam melech." And the Brisa says, "Anything that you find is mutter." Even the Brisa says that everything is asur, not just these three things. Says the Gemara, "Even moitza." But let's continue. So the Brisa is teaching us that anything. The Brisa is saying that you find keli that has on it a design, unless it has chama or levana, the halacha is that it's mutter. These designs are avodah zarah. So ask the Gemara Ibn Maitzah if we're saying that the Braisa is speaking about finding Eimah Metziyasa. Let's continue learning the Braisa. The next thing was Kol Pratzufos, anything that looks like an animal or term, Chutz Mipatzuf Adam. Ibn Maitzah, if we're talking that we just found it, Patzuf Adam Yasser, Vatanan, the Mishnah says, Amotzi Kelm Valem Trus, Chamat Trus, Levana Trus, Droikim, Yelichim Yam Melech. So it says Trus Droikim is a problem. Patzuf Adam Loi. That if we find something with the picture, the design of a person, it's not a problem. El Pshita, what is the second case of the Braisa speaking about? Ba'isa. And it's teaching us the Halacha that Rav Huna Ben Yeshua Torah teaches us in the next staff, that the Torah says, L'sasin itui, that you're not allowed to make the face of a person. So continues the Braisa. Continues the Gemara in analyzing the Braisa. Iba'isa Eima Seifa. The Braisa says, Kol Tzuras Asuras, that you're not allowed to have any Tzura, Chut Mitzuras Droikin. Vi Tzuras Droikin, Vi Ba'isa, it was speaking about somebody who's actually making it, asking my Tzuras Droikin also, but Tan, the Pasuk says, Loisas Ite Alehei Chesav Alehei Zov, and we learn from here, Loisas Kedmosh Moshei, HaMasham Shem Lefonai B'morim, Hani In, the only what's in the sky is Osir, but Tzuras Droikin Loi. So we have here a very big difficulty, says the Gemara, because it's not also to manufacture that if it's not for Avodah Zarah. El Pshita, how are we going to understand the last case of the Mishnah of Bebaitza, that you found such a keli, Ukratanan, and as it's the same as we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamaitza Kelim Aleim Tzuras Chama Tzuras Levana Tzuras Droikin. So according to this, ask the Gemara, Reish Shiva Sefer Bebaitza, we explained that the first case of the Mishnah is when you found a keli with the design of a sun or the moon, it's Asur, because that was worshipped. Everything else is Asur. The Seif is talking about, again, the same thing that we learned in the Mishnah. If you found a keli with the design of the droik in its Asur, again, because that was worshipped. But the middle case of the Mishnah, when we're talking about the tzura of a person, is speaking about Asur when you're manufacturing it, which is sort of inconsistent. Is the Braisa speaking about when you find the keli, or is the Mishnah talking about when you make a keli? Amar Bai In, we're going to have to explain that the Braisa is speaking about a case where the Reish is safe as Maitse and the Metziyasa is Oisa. Says the Gemara, Rava says no. It's difficult to explain that that's the way the Braisa, that's how to understand the Braisa. And because of that, Rava says Kula be Maitse. The entire Braisa is speaking about a case where that's the keli you found. Mitzasa, and the middle case of the Braisa is reflecting the opinion of Yehuda, the Tanya of Yehuda Maisa, after Mus Manika, if you found a keli that has on it a design of a woman nursing, or a sar office, or the picture or design of a person that was promoted to be a minister. Why are they considered a Vaidazara? Manika Shem Chava, it represents Chava, Shem Manika Kol Olam Kula, that Chava nourished the whole world. Sarophis represents Yosef. Shesar, he became a minister, or Mafis is Kolem Kulay, and he took care of the entire world's needs, says the Gemara. But when we say that the design of a sar is a considered maybe an Avodah Zarah, Vudanak Gravoya, that's when he's holding in his hand a measuring cup or a measuring stick, the Kokayel, and he's measuring with it grain. So then it shows that represents what Yosef did, that Yosef gave tevuah, gave produce to the whole world. And the same thing when we speak about the woman, it's speaking about a case, the naked ben, that she's holding a child, the kamenika, and she's nursing it, and that's the type of designs that they used to worship. And therefore, when you find a keli with that type of design, even if it's just Maitzah, it will have the same din as the din of the Mishnah that is considered an Avodah Zarah.